thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin and Craig, and we welcome you. We're opening our service with the way of true singer singing for us, Be Strong and Firmly Trust.
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempted luring power. Shun all the avenues of sin. And trust in God each day and night. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. Strength to yield unto the tempting throng. For God is always strong and true to help and keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust in God. And with His grace and strength be blessed. He is our rock, our power high, and to the meek He giveth grace. A shield He is to them that trust, a joy of those who seek His face. Strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. He will forsake you not, He says, but pleasantness He'll guide. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed.
It's only through the grace of God that we can be strong in the Lord and stand for what is right. But the Lord has promised us grace sufficient. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, never let us be tempted above that we are able to bear, but would with every temptation make a way of escape. So we can, by the grace of God, be strong for truth and for right. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're thankful for each one in our congregation, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will use us and use this broadcast to be a blessing, a courage, encouragement, and a help to precious souls. For we ask this In Jesus' name, amen. Subject for today's broadcast, Modern Morality, and our text of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's reading down through verse 8. And that is a description of the age in which we are living, as well as was in the times of the Apostle Paul. But the thing that is so amazing about this scripture that I have just read is verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. People could live the kind of a life that Paul has described here and yet have a religious profession. Now, many factors contribute to our immoral morass, and I will not try to cover all of them. First, how do we define the word moral? Well, the Thorndike Barnhart Dictionary says, good in character or conduct, virtuous according to civilized standards of right and wrong, just. And Webster's Dictionary says, relating to, dealing with, or capable of making the distinction between right and wrong in conduct. Good for right in conduct or character, virtuous in sexual conduct. Western civilization, our code of morality, has evolved from the Judeo-Christian ethic. By that I mean the Old and New Testaments, and primarily the teachings of Jesus, including the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament and other biblical statements. From the beginning of the creation of man down to the present, there has existed an awareness of certain right and wrong conduct. God gave Adam and Eve a command in the garden that they should not eat of the fruit of that tree, of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, whenever you do, if you eat of it, you shall die. So from the very beginning of man, there has been a sense of right and of wrong. If people scorn these morals, there existed some sense of shame and stigma. They were out of step with the commonly held ideas of right and of wrong. Many churches had a high moral standard. In my lifetime, I remember that divorce was shameful. A child born out of wedlock was a shame not only to the girl, but to the family as well. It hasn't been so many years ago that homosexuals were people who needed counsel and treatment for their perverted acts. Today, we are experiencing a moral crisis in the nation and world. America and the world is greatly responsible for helping to spread the disease of immorality. In various parts of the world, young people especially are influenced by the American culture, the American movies and TV programs and so forth are contributing especially to the influence of young people not only in America but in other parts of the world as well. The philosophy of humanism as taught in our educational institutions attacks the very basis of morality. Providing of sexual practices or protection against sexual immorality being provided in our schools. Who would have thought of such a thing years ago? Humanism, any system of thought or action principally or exclusively concerned with human interests or values. Some in our nation insist on the right of the individual to the exclusion of moral laws. But, beloved, there is a law above all other laws, and that is the law of God. The right of choice must prevail, so we are told. A woman must have the right to abort her child. Well, what about the right of the child? Does that child have a right to live, or does it have a right to be put to death? It isn't altogether what the woman wants or what the woman thinks. There is a law that is a divine law, and God ordained that people have the privilege of living. And he also gave us a law as to how we are to live. What about the rights of those who oppose taking the child's life? They don't have any right? And above all, what about God and moral principles? No, the woman must have her rights. That's humanism. That's human understanding and human reasoning, and it's disregarding the moral principles laid down in the Word of God. Humanism is well entrenched in our society, in schools, governments, social organizations, and in some churches. Pressure is exerted continuously to accept any form of sexual preference as acceptable. Even the Boy Scouts, some few years ago, were put under pressure and were supposed to allow Scout leaders to be homosexuals. And whenever they first refused, there were organization businesses stopped supporting the Boy Scouts. Now, so this humanistic right is not extended to the moralist. Some companies, I say, have announced they would no longer support the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts don't have a right then to have their own convictions and their own principles. The philosophy that faith alone, not obedience to moral law, is necessary for salvation, that is coming from seminaries and pulpits, erode belief in the moral laws of God. That is one reason why some preachers and others as well, known figures, can commit adultery and not lose their membership in their church. But, beloved, again, I want to emphasize, God has given man a law, and God has not given any man the privilege of changing his law. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not the word of God. We read in the scriptures that the word of God was given by inspiration of God, and God has never inspired a lie, and God has never given man the right or the privilege of changing his word. He has never given a bunch of preachers the authority to gather together and to change the truth of the gospel. No, God has never given man that privilege. God has given the ministry the responsibility of preaching the word. And I don't find any other commission given to ministers other than that. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And beloved, believe it or not, when we arrive at the judgment bar of God, the books will be open, and that's the word of God, and every man shall be judged according to the things that are written therein. There will not be one sectarian creed at the judgment bar of God, but God's word will be there, and we will be judged by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, whenever you go to preaching the word of God as it is, the charge is thrown at you of legalism. It is leveled against the ministers who is bold enough and sincere enough and honest enough to preach God's word as it is. Preach the moral law as taught in the Bible. Yet, it is the transgression of God's law that constitutes sin. Yes, sin is the transgression of the law of God. And if there is no such thing as sin, then there is no need of a Savior. Jesus did not need to come into this world if there is no such thing as sin, and everybody has a right to live according to their own conscience or their own conviction, then there is no such thing as sin. But, beloved, there is such a thing as sin. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. These humanistic preachers are contributing to the immoral trends in our society today. Just recently it was said there were 30-some states that are now presenting same-sex marriage, and many preachers are going along with it, performing those kind of ceremonies. So I say again, this humanistic preachers are contributing to the immoral trends in our society today. And God said in the Old Testament that he would set watchmen on the walls of Zion, and he said that those watchmen, when they see the sword coming, or danger coming, in other words, they should blow the trumpet and warn the people. And he said if the people did not give heed to the trumpet, then they would be taken away in their sins, and their blood would be upon their own head. But he said, now, if the watchman does not blow the trumpet, the people are still going to be taken away in their sin, but I will hold the watchman responsible. The blood will be upon their heads. So, beloved, to save our own souls, we must stand for the truth. We must preach the truth. We must live the truth. The American media desensitizes readers, viewers, and listeners by portraying immorality and perversion as acceptable, and any opposition to evil is intolerant, bigoted, and hateful. Hate crimes, they say. Beloved, when a man dares to preach the truth of the gospel, he's not preaching out of hate. He's preaching out of love and out of concern for the souls of men. Paul said for us to speak the truth in love. But he did say, speak the truth. Do it in love. And whenever a man of God is preaching the truth of the gospel, he is not preaching it out of hate. You can't hate anybody and be a Christian. No, you can't hate anyone and be a Christian. Christians love people. They love God, and they love the truth, and they love one another, and they love unsaved people. You cannot, I say, be a Christian and hate anyone. Someone has said television, magazines, and periodical publishers, radio and motion picture producers have joined in depicting moral unacceptable things, and families and attitudes, they have produced these things and want us to accept them as being normal behavior. Stories of violence, illicit sex, perversions, and anti-family attitudes bombard us daily from these sources. Where God says don't, they say do. And where God says do, they say don't. That's the situation we're facing in the world today. No wonder Paul said that there would come the time when these perilous times would be upon us, and people would be without natural affections, and traitors and heady and high-minded, and having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Beloved, we are living in those perilous times now, and people are turning away from moral principles. They're turning away from the truth of the gospel, and anything and everything goes. But in God's sight, his word still remains the same, and it does not change. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. I trust you will take to heart the word, the scriptures and the thoughts that we are brought to you today. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741 USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. Also, we have an archive of a number of our broadcasts. You may listen to one again, or if you missed one, you may be able to get it there. And also, we invite you to be with us, if at all possible, for our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. Our midweek service, Wednesday evening at 7. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week for another Way of Truth broadcast.
Troubles and trials often beset us, tempting the weary. kingdom is.